invite you this morning to turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 7. We'll be in Mark chapter 7, and you can turn to verse 31. We're going to be focusing on Mark 7, 31 to 37, especially looking at a phrase in verse 37. But as you think about the past couple weeks, they've certainly been very unique. 2 weeks ago was our church picnic. A week ago was Father's Day. And then next week, I'm going to be on vacation, so I figured instead of starting back up in the Gospel of Matthew, I'll just do something different. And that's what I am doing this morning. But you know how sometimes you're reading through the Bible, and there's a phrase or a sentence that just really sticks out to you? That happened to me. I was reading through the Gospel of Mark recently, and something popped out to me was a phrase, a sentence in Mark 7:37, and it says, "He has done all things well." He has undone all things well. Have you ever met someone who just did everything well? Right? Did everything well. No matter if it was sports or school, no matter if it was fixing something or driving something, they were good at it. Right? They were the person who got straight A's, but they were also that person who was a star sports player, basketball player, whatever it may be. They are good at their job. They are successful with money. They know so many facts, so much stuff. Any topic you bring up, they seem to know a lot about it. They seem to be proficient in it. And this often baffles us, these kinds of people. And you might have even told them, "How are you good at everything?" Right? Well, in a bigger, deeper, wider, more profound way, the crowds in this story that we look at this morning can't help but exclaim that Jesus does all things well. And his ability to do all things well points us beyond mere human ability, beyond mere just natural talents, but it points us to his amazing divine identity as the promised Messiah. Let's read the story this morning. Mark 7, verse 31. "Then he returned from the region of Tyre and went through Sidon to the Sea of Galilee in the region of the Decapolis. And they brought to him a man who was deaf and had a speech impediment." Sounds like I do. "And they begged him to lay his hand on him. And taking him aside from the crowd privately, he put his fingers into his ears and after spitting, touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, 'Ephphatha,' that is, 'be opened.' And his ears were opened and his tongue was released and he spoke plainly. And Jesus charged them to tell no one, but the more he charged them, the more zealously they proclaimed it. And they were astonished beyond measure, saying, 'He has done all things well. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak.'" Jesus here is in a predominantly Gentile region. And the people there bring to him this man who is deaf and who has this speech issue. So I want you to imagine, just put yourself in this person's shoes. Imagine living like that. Not only unable to hear anything, but unable to communicate with words. And these people that know him, they beg Jesus to just lay his hands on him. And so this guy has pretty much only 3 out of 5 of his senses. But Jesus takes this man aside privately, and he does some very interesting things. Did you notice that? He puts his fingers in the guy's ears. Well, that's very unique. You know, and that's not the only thing, because he spits and then puts his hand on his tongue. He touches his tongue. To many of us, right, that sounds disgusting, but remember, Jesus does all things well, so he has a purpose. He has a purpose. And his purpose seems to be engendering faith in this man. And so Jesus seems to be communicating with this man by showing him what he would do. He would heal his hearing. He would heal his speaking problems. It would be a purposeful thing. It would come from Christ himself. His own fingers in the man's ears. His own spit on the man's tongue shows that this man would receive healing, most definitely from Christ. Only Christ could do this. After all of this, Jesus looks up to heaven and he sighs. And this is probably to show his emotional involvement in this, his deep prayer to the Father. He says, be opened. And miraculously, this man's ears are opened, his tongue released. He could now speak plainly, normally, correctly. And so just imagine the scene in your mind, a man who couldn't hear, a man who couldn't speak well at all, is now speaking plainly and correctly. He's probably having conversations with people. And so no wonder the crowd, the people are just astonished. In fact, Jesus knows how much of a frenzy this could cause, and he charges them to not tell anyone. The word used here is really, he ordered them, right? Commanded them, don't tell anyone, and he kept telling them not to tell anyone. And the reason for this is because it wasn't time yet for Jesus to be publicly proclaimed to all. Without his impending death and resurrection happening yet, the people would get the wrong idea about him. They would have this misunderstanding about who Jesus was. He didn't want to be known simply as this mere wonder worker. He was so much more. He would do so much more. But the crowd is just too astonished. It says they were astonished beyond measure. You know how sometimes someone nowadays would say, my mind was blown by what I saw. That's the idea, right? It was just astonishment beyond measure. They couldn't contain themselves. And that's when they proclaim he has done all things well. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak. What a statement. And it just goes to show that Jesus does all things well. Jesus does all things well. Isn't that so true? What has Jesus done that hasn't been done well? Has he flopped in some way? Has he done something that we would say was not good? Is he deficient in any way? Does he do anything lousy or mediocre? Would we call any of his works second rate or poor quality? No way, because our Lord does all things well. For us, we are flawed, right? Imperfect, we are weak. There are many times when we do something and we say, that was not good at all. That was not good. As you think about us, for us as we mature as believers, you often actually see your sin more often, more clearly, right? And so there's many days as we get to the end of the day and we're thinking, man, that was not a good day. That was not a good day today, because we think about our sins and our failures and our weaknesses and think about what we didn't do. And there's some days where you could very easily say, I did not do well, think well, act well, live well, speak well at all. As you think about everything, I did not do well at all. But Jesus does all things well. And one thing that it points to is his identity. And so this morning I want to talk a little bit about the identity of the one who does all things well. Because it matters who does something, doesn't it? I think about when I first moved to Clearfield, and there was multiple times where I was asked by someone for directions to get somewhere. But the problem was I had no idea where anything was. I was new to town. And so these poor people are asking for directions, and they soon realize they picked the wrong person. Right? And they probably left more confused and lost than before they started talking to me. And so it matters who gives you directions, and so it just proves the show. It matters who does something. It matters who fixes your house or your roof or drives the car, right? You wouldn't trust my daughter Evie, who's 1 year old, to drive your car, right? It matters who does something, because we look for reliable and proven and experienced and knowledgeable people to do something. Would you think about the one who does something here is none other than Jesus Christ, and we will look at his identity and it will give us utmost assurance and confidence. He is the promised Messiah. Did you notice what the crowd end up saying? They said, he even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak. I want you to listen to Isaiah 35:5-6. It's talking about the coming of the Lord, the amazing blessings that come with it, and it says this: then the eyes of the blind shall be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap like a deer and the tongue of the mute sing for joy. So Jesus' presence and work here show us the Lord has truly come. And through this miracle, It was showing this glimpse of the inbreaking kingdom, of what eventually we all will be healed of when a kingdom comes in the consummation. He is truly the promised Messiah, the promised deliverer, the promised Savior and King. And even in this story, we actually get highlighted hints of Jesus' divinity. I remember when God was talking to Moses and he said this, "Who has made man's mouth? Who makes him mute or deaf or seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord?" Well, here we see Jesus is the one who makes someone hear and speak because he is God. And also the people, they say, he does all things well. He has done all things well. And it points back to God in creation, who after he created, he saw everything that he made, and behold, it was very good. Surely God was among the people. He was present. Seeing and knowing Jesus' identity, it gives us great comfort and confidence. He has done all things well. He is the Son of God, and he lived his life perfectly. His righteous life was lived well, perfectly for us, so that by believing in him, his righteous life was credited to our account. He's the promised deliverer, so his work on the cross was done well. And aren't you thankful it was done well? He's the creator God who you can trust with the situations in your life. The promised Messiah, you can have confidence that his work was done right. This is our hope, this is our peace, this is our comfort in life and in death, that God acted on our behalf. And he's a good God, a perfect God who does all things well. And so we must continually remind ourselves who Christ is, that he truly is the Creator and Redeemer and the Messiah and Lord. And I find so often we get so accustomed to talking and thinking about Jesus that we become a little bit too familiar, that we forget his majestic identity. And we must remember he's the God who can open the ears of the deaf, loose the tongue of the mute. The God who does all things well, who is so high up and has the greatest identity, and yet he is so compassionate. And that's the second thing I want to show you, is the compassion of the one who does all things well. The compassion. Because it matters if someone does something or not, right? It matters if they do something. There have been numerous times where there's been some sort of tragic incident that happens to another person. And what's astonishing is the amount of people who just stand by and watch. Right? Someone's getting beat up, let's say, and so many people just stand there and do nothing, and some of them just take out their phones and record it. Don't they have compassion to do something? Aren't you thankful Jesus isn't like that? He has compassion to act. Great compassion. Because here is Jesus, and he's in this predominantly Gentile region, and yet he reaches out to show grace to those who at that time were considered outsiders. This guy, we don't know 100% sure, but he was most likely a Gentile, and he was deaf, and he had this speech issue. And in that day, he was considered an outcast. He probably faced a lot of suffering. And yet, Jesus heals this guy. He not only heals him, but he takes him aside and he touches him. Most of us probably wouldn't even want to put our fingers in our family member's ears, right? And he put his fingers in this guy's ears. Many of us wouldn't want to touch someone else's tongue, yet here is Jesus touching this random person, right? And he's the Son of God. He just goes to show he's willing to reach out and touch the needy, and that is the best news possible because we are the needy. And it reminds us no ethnicity and no weakness, no past of yours, no negative thoughts that others have of you obstructs Jesus from showing you compassion. He even focuses on the individual, as is shown as he takes this guy aside privately and does this. You aren't just a faceless person to Jesus. You aren't just a number. He isn't some detached, unemotional person. He didn't even just quickly heal this guy and move on. I got more important things to do. And by touching the exact parts that needed healing, he was communicating so much. Not only communicating, hey, I'm going to heal you in your ears and your mouth and things like that, but it's also communicating, I see you. I know. I see your problems. I see your needs. I know them, and I will do something about it. Is that the way you view Jesus? Is it the way you view Jesus? Or do you see him more as distant, uninterested, at times unapproachable, maybe? Maybe you're struggling with some physical pain and that ailment that just won't go away. Maybe you're struggling with sorrow. You lost someone near and dear to you. Maybe you're just struggling with the emotional pain and turmoil. It feels like your life is sort of just out of control. Jesus sees you. Jesus knows your needs. He cares. He is compassionate. As we learned in Matthew, he is gentle and lowly. He's not hesitant to take you aside and spend time in communion with you. He's willing to reach out in grace and gentleness. And the crowd says that Jesus has done all things well. And you even saw his act, right? His doing something, right? In this miracle, is that he does things. Meaning he intervenes, he takes action, he moves to do something, he accomplishes. And it shows us he's not a God who is idle. He's not some king who just sits on his throne while everyone else does the dirty work. He acts in compassion towards the needy, and the greatest display of this was, of course, the incarnation and the cross. Because in compassion, the Son of God acted by coming and being born in this dirty, needy, fallen world. He was willing to reach out in mercy and compassion, and so much compassion, he came to us. He not only came to us, but he went so far as to be nailed on the cross of wood, bleed, and die for us to take the wrath of God for our sin. That is compassion. He's a God who intervenes on the behalf of the needy, the sinner, the outcast. He's the God of compassion. And we see him act in compassion. The whole of Scripture is showing us a God who acts in compassion. From creating us, to the promise of a Redeemer after the fall, to his unwavering love for rebellious Israel, to his incarnation, life, death, and resurrection, to his giving of the Spirit, to his giving of life and strength, to his promise of coming again to make all things right. God is a God who acts in compassion. The one who does all things well does them on behalf of sinners like us. And so really we are undeserving recipients of things done well by God. Like, who are we to deserve such goodness, such things done well by such a compassionate Christ? Because we are like that needy deaf man. Needy unless Christ intervenes. Unable to help ourselves. Reliant upon the compassion and action of our Savior to actually save us. And so will you draw near to the one who does all things well, knowing that he is compassionate. He is compassionate. He's not there tapping his foot saying, you again, huh? No. He has reached out in compassion through the incarnation of the cross, and he never stops acting in compassion. Even now, he is ready to give you your daily bread. He's ready to give you the strength for the day, to give you the comfort and peace amidst life's troubles, to give you the superabundant grace that you need in the graceless world. And so the question is, though, knowing this compassionate one who does all things well, will you drift away or will you draw near to the one who is compassionate? So Jesus does all things well. And a third aspect I want to bring out is we see the power of the one who does all things well. The power. So we saw the identity, the compassion, and now we see the power of the one who does all things well. Have you ever met someone who they can talk a big game, but they weren't actually good? Right? Maybe it's that coworker who acts like they know all about how to do something. And so you say, okay, I'm going to go see what they did. And you're like, wow, that's not really good. Maybe it's that kid who says he's amazing at basketball. You go watch him play, and it's like, yeah, this is fell short of amazing, right? Well, for Jesus, he didn't merely talk of doing things. He did things well, and it just goes to show us his great power, his great power. So in this miracle, Jesus, he literally commands the man's ears to be open, right? Can you do that to a deaf person? Can you just command their ears to be open and it just happens? I mean, can you even, your children won't even listen when you say for their ears to be opened, right? Deaf ears listen and obey the Lord by opening up to his word. And did you notice his tongue is said to be released? It's this idea of something liberated from bonds. And so it's just this picture of this man's tongue in shackles. And now, because of Jesus, the shackles are off. He could speak plainly. Deaf ears open. Bonds fall off of tongues when Jesus commands them. And it just points to his healing and liberating power. Like, if he can do such things, don't you think he can bring healing and freedom elsewhere? Through his work on the cross, he has brought the healing balm of forgiveness, the freeing liberation of being made right with God. This is our Savior, our Lord, who does all things well. But not only that, he does all things well. Have you ever met someone who's only good at one thing? The one trick pony, right? It's like that person who's good at taking things apart but not putting them back together. And you go to them and you ask them to fix something, and here it is, just everything's apart, but it's not put back together. And you're thinking, I asked you to fix it, not just to take it apart. I'm glad you're good at taking things apart, but you have to put it back together. Jesus is no one-trick pony. The crowd proclaims that he has done all things well. And so it seems like this crowd has seen or at least heard of Jesus' other works and teaching. And they're putting it all together, and they're in astonishment, like, he has done all things well. We maybe have seen him do this, or we have heard about all of this other stuff, and now we see this, and he has done all things well. Everything he did amazed them. Everything he set his hand to excelled. I mean, just look at the testimony of Scripture. I mean, everything that God does is done well. I mean, there's nothing that you can say, yeah, that wasn't so good. But that couldn't be said of us. Some stuff we do may be good, but not all. Few things, yes, but all? All things? And it just signals us outward and upward. It signals, points us away from ourselves to him. He does these things, all of these things, well. Have you ever asked your young child to do some project? They return after a while and they say, okay, it's done. So you go and you look what they did and it's not done well. You may even have told them, I told you to clean your room and it's dirtier than before. They may have said done, but it was not done well. In contrast, Jesus does all things well. This is because the God who made everything very good is the God here who has done all things well. He is the good God who does all things well, the perfect, all-powerful God who does all things well. How could he not? And so we need to stop looking inward for answers. Stop looking inward for solutions. Rather, we need to look to him who does all things well. When you need that wisdom for what to do in that tricky situation, look to the one who does all things well. When you need strength for that task, look to the one who does all things well. When you face that impossible-looking situation, look to the one who does all things well. You see, this text is leading us to consider this question. So Jesus does all things well, but does this lead to faith? Does it lead to faith? Now, we don't know for sure if this crowd actually believed in Jesus. It may have been just sort of the hype of the miracle. But what really matters is if this truth leads you to trust Him. Does this truth lead you to trust Him? For those who have never trusted in Jesus for salvation, behold, now is the favorable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. See your need, see your Savior. You are a sinner. He deserves death and condemnation, but Jesus came and died on the cross so that you could be forgiven, given eternal life. So trust in Him alone. Be made right with God. Be reconciled to Him. For those of us who are believers, we need regular calls to trust Him more. We have faith in Jesus, but our faith needs to grow. We need to draw closer to Jesus. We need to grow in maturity in our knowledge of Him. And so, does this text, does this word of Scripture lead you to a deeper, stronger faith? Like, does knowing that Jesus does all things well, does it cause a spring of trust to rise up in you? Because I want you to consider the difference this can really make in a life. The difference that Jesus does all things well. I want you to think about the difference. And it's most clearly seen in the hardest of moments, isn't it? Let's say that you are going through a horrible trial, extremely hard trial. You're at the end of your strength. Sorrow fills your heart. The pain is just so great. You don't know how you are going to go on, and yet you still believe He does all things well. He does all things well. He truly does. And do you trust Him? That is the question. He's accomplished the work of redemption so you could be forgiven, no longer guilty, and so that you could become a child of God. I say that was done well. When He said, "It is finished," it was done well. It was done, completed for us. And guess what? The Christ, who has done all things well, does all things well, and will do all things well. For doesn't the Bible say that for those who love God, all things work together for good? That's a truth that should cause us to be astonished beyond measure. Let's pray. Dear good and gracious Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for Jesus. It's only because of Him that we stand here, we sit here today. Because of Your amazing grace that was shed upon us, the needy, the sinner. And yet You, in Your compassion, in Your power, in who You are, in Your character, You have worked mightily through Christ to redeem a people who would be Your own. And thank You for doing that in our lives, that we get to be a part of that, that we get to be Your children. I pray that You would help each and every one of us to remember these precious, glorious truths as we're going through an easier day, a harder day, a normal day, whatever it may be, that our minds would continually go back to the fact that truly You do all things well. And that's something that we can rely upon. Help us to be confident in faith in that truth, and to live for You and Your glory. In Christ's name, amen.
Thank you so much for listening. We pray that you were encouraged by the sermon today. This sermon was preached at First Baptist Church of Clearfield, Pennsylvania. If you'd like more information about our church, you can visit our website at fbcclearfield.com. May God grant you grace and peace as you look to Him today.